And hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you. What's on your mind today? If there's something you'd like to discuss, well, we want to hear directly from you. So if it's the top of the hour 3 Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and this is your opportunity to come in and talk directly with us at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, of course, 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it right now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew Farley joins us today, and if you want to ask a question of him, we would love for you to do that on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742. Andrew, welcome. This month we've been talking about the essentials, the essential truths, the foundational blocks of our faith. And we've talked about Jesus Christ. We've talked about the Word of God. We've talked about the fact that Christ shed his blood and we're forgiven of all of our sins. And today I want to turn to another topic, and that's the purpose of the law. What is the purpose of the law? And there are so many Christians out there who hold that up as their rule of life. They want to follow that law, and they think that's the way to live the Christian life, but they're frustrated, they're failing, they just don't feel like they're experiencing the abundant life. And when we read the scriptures, we find out that's not the purpose of the law at all. So I think one of those essential truths is for us to know the purpose of the law and how we live as believers today. So let's talk about that a little bit before we go to our phone line. So, Andrew, what is the purpose of the law? How does the Word of God describe that? And does it have any relationship to us as believers in Christ Jesus?
Well, the answer to that final question is no, it's not for us. I mean, 1 Timothy chapter 1 tells us the truth. It says that the law is not made for the righteous. Now, I have to ask, am I righteous? And how did I get that way? And who are the unrighteous and who are the righteous? And I discover through the gospel message that I am the righteousness of God because Jesus made me that way, because he hung on a cross and died for my sins and rose from the dead and gave me his new life, new to me, that made me righteous. So I'm the righteous and the law is not made for me. We see the purpose of the law in Romans 3. It says that through the law we become conscious of sin. So, you know, the law is pointing 613 bony fingers right at us, saying, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. You can't stop coveting. In the case of Saul of Tarsus, he lived his whole life as a devout Pharisee, trying his best to keep the law, and he fought the law, and the law won. He could not keep from coveting, even though he could polish the rest of his life and other people found him blameless on the outside. He knew that something was going on the inside, and I don't think he would have known about that. He wouldn't have been aware of his slavery to sin if the law had not come along and said, hey, here's what true obedience looks like. And then he discovered 613 rules he couldn't keep, and he discovered that he fell short of the glory of God. And that's what the law does. The law does a perfect job of showing us that we fall short. Galatians 3 says that through the law, we recognize that we're prisoners, we're held prisoners by the law, we're prisoners of sin, and that's what the law shows us. So, look, the law has one straightforward purpose, and that is to tell everybody today, please, please come to Jesus for cleansing. Please come to Jesus for new life. You're not going to find that cleansing in Moses. You're not going to find that new life in Moses. You can only find it in Jesus. So when we look to Moses, he's pointing over there. When we look to Moses, he is pointing at Jesus. And once we come to Jesus Christ, then the law has done its work. And the Bible tells us in Romans 7, it says we've died to the law. Galatians chapter 2 says that Paul died to the law. And then he talks about living to God. Well, how do we live to God? It starts by dying to the law. So when a Christian brings the law into their daily life, they're misusing the law, Bob. They're using something that was only designed as an evangelistic tool to bring them to Christ, and they're dragging that into their new life in Jesus. And it really has no place. As I often say, flirting with Moses is cheating on Jesus. And what I'm saying there is we need to look to Jesus and be faithful to him in terms of our dependency. Okay, I've got a stealing problem. I'm going to look to Jesus, not Moses. All right, I've got a lying problem. What am I going to do? Well, I'm going to look to Jesus, not Moses. So it's not about tablets of stone. It's not about Old Testament regulations. We have Christ in us. He cleaned house and moved in, and we can trust him with every word, with every thought, with every moment of our lives. He is enough.
He is enough. And Andrew, thank you for those thoughts, and we appreciate the fact that you've joined us on today's edition of Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me, and we're glad you're here, friends. 844-322-2742. We have a couple of calls on the screen. We'll go to them in just a moment, but we want to hear from you as well. 844-322-2742. And friends, your gifts to Basic Gospel have made a difference in people's lives all across North America and many countries literally around the world. Now, when you give to support this ministry, people's lives are touched and often changed forever through the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We're able to be here each day only because of your faithful support. Please help us keep it going by making your October gift today at basicgospel.net. And when you do, we'll say thank you by sending you a copy of our book, The Basic Gospel: Essential Truths for You to Grow in God's Love and Grace. And you can make your gift right now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines. And by the way, we do have some open lines right now at 844-322-2742. If you have a question about a Bible verse, a problem that you're going through right now and want to find some biblical wisdom, now is your time to call 844-322-2742. Well, let's go out to North Carolina and talk to Andrew. Andrew, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine.
That's fantastic. I enjoy your program. I'm glad to talk to you every chance I get. Well, I have a question. I heard Yeshi was talking about yesterday, was asking about one race, and we say we are all the one race, which is the human race. But then you went on and you said we identify with the gospel. Those lines of this division disappear. The good news of Jesus Christ gets rid of that enmity that we have for one for another. We begin seeing people through the very eyes of God. We are drawn together in unity. Jesus Christ is the great unifier, and we recognize we are all equal. And I'm 68 years old, and I've been in the South, and I'm a Christian, and I'm a black man. And the biggest problem that I've had, and then studying the history of this country about race, so-called race relations, has been Christian people. They've been, you know, we talk like what you said. It sounds good, and it's nice good, but in reality, it doesn't happen. And we as Christian people, why shouldn't it happen? And then some of our ministers and evangelistical people, they don't deal with the issues that we have. And I listen to people, and we worry so much about abortion, homosexuality, and all those other things, and we could care less, in my opinion, some of us, about how people who are already here are treated. And this Christian church, in my opinion, does not address that. We get so caught in so many other things. And I appreciate what y'all are saying and what y'all are doing. But when you were telling me about all these attributes that you listed as Christian people, what they do, and when I look around and see how things are happening in America, especially where I live, I'm from North Carolina, that stuff is good. It might be the way we should be, but that's not the way we are.
It sounds good, but it's not what's being practiced out there. And I think one of the reasons, Andrew, as far as the Christian church is concerned, is because we've looked at other things other than Jesus. So we've grouped ourselves based on how we baptize. We've grouped ourselves based on, you know, how we do this or that. And we're not keeping our eyes fully focused on Jesus Christ. So oftentimes throughout church history, we saw, for example, in the church at Corinth, there were great divisions there. And some of those divisions were caused by people looking to Peter and others looking to Paul and others looking to Apollos and thinking those were the guys to follow. And then some of the ways they, looked at the population itself, the haves and the have-nots, they divided for that. And they thought the haves were the really blessed of God, the ones that were really in God's grace and favor, and so they looked down on the have-nots. And Paul chastised them in his direction concerning the Lord's Supper. So there's been divisions within the church ever since the get-go, and it's because we're not allowing ourselves to look at Jesus and to bring unity. But I guarantee you, and Andrew, I know you've seen this, and we've certainly seen this in our ministry, that anytime you lift up the name of Jesus and you start to gather people around him, you gather all people. It just doesn't matter. And it's the greatest joy in the world to see people of every color and ethnicity and socioeconomic status all gathered together rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you look at the Gentiles, Andrew, and you see how they were treated by the Jews. The Jewish believers wouldn't sit down with Gentile believers. Even the Apostle Peter found himself a victim of that mentality as he chose it, and Paul had to chew him out for it and say, Peter, what are you doing here? I mean, come on. You're not going to sit down and eat with Gentiles because of their bloodline or their skin color or their heritage or their lineage. So, you know, I agree 100% that, you know, we see the compassion and the unity and the love in Jesus, but we don't always see it in Christians, both globally and throughout history, including, as I said, that Apostle Peter, who wrote a couple of epistles for us. Well, I mean, he was off the rails. He was distracted. He was looking and defining people by the flesh rather than by the Spirit. And so I would say that it really is an identity issue. And as long as we have carnal believers who are fleshly minded, who are looking at their income and their neighborhood and their family name and their upbringing and their morality and ethics in terms of their good works, I mean, as long as they're defining their value and worth by those measures, then they're missing the boat. And what Christianity does is just blow all of that to smithereens. The true gospel says, hey, you know what? We're going to identify each other by who we're in. We're either in Adam or in Christ. And if we're in Christ, then there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither male nor female. We're all one in Christ. So there's no doubt in my mind that the true gospel has set us up for unity. The problem is never the gospel. The problem is always the people. And that was true in Israel. That's true today. And so the solution is, as Bob said, it's always come back to the true gospel message. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Let him be the unifier.
And Andrew, you know that truth, and you know it well. And you know, it just takes people that say, hey, I'm going to act on the gospel, whether all those around me are trying to divide, whether all those around me are trying to segregate based on skin color or whatever it might be. And regardless of what the attitudes are around me, I'm going to stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to see people through the lens of that gospel, that good news that Christ died for all so that we could all experience new life in him. And I guarantee you, as people see that attitude in you, it will stop them dead in their tracks, and they'll say there's something different there, and they'll realize it's not you, it's that gospel of Jesus Christ living through you.
So, Bob, why don't more and more ministers teach that? Because we don't teach that. We go into church and we get all excited about the church. But then we leave the church and we'll go to our own different communities. And then we go out and we spell this foolishness. Because I look at so many people who call in, you know, even in your show. And they talk about the things about homosexuality. They talk about abortion. They talk about all these things. They talk about the politicians and everything. And some of those people, you know, y'all agree with. But see, the process is, we as a Christian people should tell truth, and sometimes we act like we're scared to tell the truth, because if we all are one and you should be treating me as your brother just because I don't look like you, don't have the same complexion, then we as Christian people should teach other people like that. A lot of ministers, they don't do that. We get in our little
Andrew, here's what I would say is we're always going to be just always going to be disappointed. I mean, you know, there's nothing magical about the United States of America that's going to turn everybody into a person that's focused on Jesus. That's just obviously an unrealistic expectation. And there's nothing great about this fallen world where they're suddenly going to fall on their knees and worship Jesus. It's just not going to happen. There's always going to be a remnant. There's always going to be some who decide to believe in Jesus, put their faith in Jesus, are then indwelt by Jesus, and then are taught by Jesus. But I would say, you know, by and large, we got a lot of people distracted by politics. They're trying to change Washington instead of changing their attitudes by the renewing of their minds. They're trying to fix a government instead of first starting with their own attitudes. So we've got folks that have a political agenda and practically no spiritual agenda, and yet they'll use the name of Jesus. We've got people historically, I'm talking about Nazi Germany, who misused the gospel, misused the Bible, misused Christianity, and completely abused and obliterated people. We've got the Crusades. They misused the gospel. They misused the Bible. They misused the name of Jesus, and also went into war and fought people and killed them in the name of Jesus. So, you know, I do not have any expectation that the religious world is going to wake up tomorrow and do better. So all we can do, I think, is adjust our expectations and just realize, you know what, this issue starts with me. It starts with me and my attitude. It starts with me and how I treat the people around me. It starts with me and whether my focus is on the truth of the gospel and an identity in Jesus that esteems every man and is not about gender or skin color or heritage or lineage. So real change starts with me, one-on-one, as Jesus Christ teaches me the truth. And Bob, I just think, you know, as long as we have expectation of change out there in the world, we are going to be disappointed, and we really need to just start with number one, and that is where Christ lives in me, and he's working on my attitudes.
Absolutely. Well, Andrew, thank you so much. A timely topic, something that we need to talk about more and more, and thank you for bringing that topic to Basic Gospel. So we appreciate it. You call again, and let's talk about it again on a future broadcast as well.
Yes, indeed. Good to hear from you, Andrew, from North Carolina, and you from Lubbock, Texas, as well. So it is Basic Gospel, and where are we going to go, Bob?
We're going to go to Orange County.
Okay, let's do that.
Hi, I'm calling from Orange County, California, and I am unfortunately going through a divorce after 22 years of marriage, and I have two adult kids. And my question has to do with marriage in the afterlife. Will my current wife, that I consider to still be my wife, we're still going through the divorce after 2 years, but if we're married on earth, will God still reconcile us and recognize us as married in heaven, and will we be able to be together in heaven? And a secondary question is, will our children, loved ones, will they recognize us in heaven? And if so, how will they recognize us? Thank you. God bless.
Interesting question, isn't it, Andrew? And Jesus was asked a similar question by the Sadducees. They came to him and said, you know, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up the offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers, and it goes on that this one woman ended up marrying all seven. So they asked the question, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? And Jesus said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. So that's the answer. There's not going to be marriage in heaven, is there?
Yeah, and it's not something that we're going to miss, and that tells you something. When there's no tears and no sorrow, and there's nothing but joy, and yet there's no more marriage, then it just tells you how fulfilling life in Christ really is. When it all comes to completion and we get that new resurrection body, you know, if you have not yet realized how satisfying it is to know Jesus and how fulfilling it is to know Him, then you certainly will at that point, because you'll have the spiritual eyes to see. It won't just be a walk of faith. It'll be a walk of sight as well at that point with your new resurrection eyes. But I just want to encourage folks that, you know, anytime we're thinking about missing out, that our future life in heaven, what are we going to miss out on? Well, the simple answer to that is nothing. You're not going to miss out on anything. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. You're complete in Him. There's not going to be any tears or sorrow. It's going to be the greatest experience of your life, and you get to have it for eternity. And yes, other people are going to recognize you. I mean, just think about Jesus. He was resurrected from the dead. And sure, they thought He was the gardener there for a little while. They didn't expect Him to raise from the dead. They thought He was the gardener, but they didn't think He was an alien being. I mean, He still had two arms, two legs, a head, and a personality. So we're going to have two arms, two legs, a head, and a personality. We're going to be the same people that we are now. And that's how we're going to recognize other people in heaven. So take that to heart, that who you are right now is good enough for Jesus. If you're in Christ and you're a new creation, the same you that is alive right now listening to this radio broadcast, that same you is going to be in heaven. And God loves you, everything about you, your sense of humor, your hobbies, your interests, who you are is very real to Him. He's not just in love with some Bible view of you. He's in love with you, who you really are. So we're going to know each other in heaven, and we're going to be completely satisfied. Bob?
Yes, indeed. And one thing I'll add to that, you know, every time I do a wedding, and, you know, I've spent some time with the couple and really have looked at what the Bible has to say about marriage, what the Bible has to say about our real identity in Christ. When those people stand together and start to share their vows, they're taking those vows, soon to be husband and wife, but they're taking those vows as brother and sister in Christ. And that's the relationship that's going to endure. That is the eternal reality, that we're gonna be in heaven and enjoying that relationship of what it means to be a part of the family of God, with Jesus Christ is kind of the center of everything. And like I said, that's going to be better than anything that we've ever experienced relationship-wise here on earth. We're getting a taste of that, but there we're gonna truly experience the fullness of it, and it's gonna be just overwhelmingly good in every sense of that word.
Yeah.
So, thank you for calling. We hope that helps.
Yes, indeed. Friends, I want to remind you that Basic Gospel has a growing list of YouTube videos that will be an encouragement to you, equip you to confidently walk each day in the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Whether it's about understanding hard Bible passages, learning the true meaning of salvation, how to combat anxiety or the downward spiral of depression, these videos prepared by Bob Christopher will help you grow in your faith in Jesus Christ, and you will find them all when you subscribe to the Basic Gospel YouTube channel. We hope you will do that today. Also, we appreciate so much everyone who helps keep this program on the air and online, and we need your ongoing support to keep the message going. Please donate today at basicgospel.net. Be a blessing in someone's life, either here in North America or around the world. We need your help. And as you make your October gift, we're going to send you a copy of our book, The Basic Gospel, Essential Truths for You to Grow in God's Love and Grace. You can make your gift now or anytime, of course, at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for joining us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. If you have a question about anything you'd like us to cover, to answer, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. That number is available 24 hours a day, right around the clock. Again, 844-322-2742. Or if you'd prefer to write your question, do so. You can send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for today, everybody. So now for Bob Christopher, for Andrew Farley, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.